And you can turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We've been talking about fresh starts. And as you look at 2 Chronicles 34 here, I want you to read with me. We're going to read the first 9 verses together. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 34, starting with verse 1. I'll give you a minute to find that. It's a little bit harder to find, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. We're talking about a man named Josiah. And it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder, and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. Pray with me for a minute. Lord, we pray as we understand this word that we might use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know what the headline might have been in Israel after this happened under this king? I think it would have been, "Teenage King Brings a Fresh Start to the Nation of Judah." Josiah could have been the headlines, right? In the headlines. This very young king turned his life around and brought revival to his people. And I think his life motto was, "I will read and respond to God's word to change my life." You know, I believe that we should have the same motto as we go forward into 2018. Now, I want to bring some background to you. Josiah lived in very wicked times in Judah's history. Now, let me remind you that where he's at today in his time is that Israel had been one whole nation many years before that. They had broken up into two nations, Israel, the northern kingdom, Judah, the southern kingdom, which consisted of the tribe of Judah and the tribes of Benjamin. Israel, the northern kingdom, had been taken out to Assyria because they had been so bad and so disobedient to God. And Judah, the southern kingdom, is about to go through that same fate because God said, "You have been unfaithful to me. You've been disobedient to me. I'm going to take you out of your land and bring you to where your enemies are." As you look at that background, look at the next slide up here. Josiah lived in very evil times in Judah's history. I want to get you a little bit of history. His grandfather, Manasseh, had been a very evil king. In fact, as you go to chapter 33... of 1 Chronicles here. Read the first 6 verses with me. I know this is a lot of reading, but as you look at that, remember that we're showing a background here and the evil that's coming out. Look at verse 1 of chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. Some young kings, right? And he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations that the Lord had driven out from before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. Remember, Hezekiah was a good king. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." He built altars to false gods in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Verse 5, in both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his sons in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Manasseh was an evil king. He brought, after his father had purged out much of the idol worship, he brought this stuff into the temple of God. He was an evil man. And then we see in verses 10 through 13 that God caused him to be dealt with in verse 10. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh, it says in verse 10 of that chapter, but he paid no attention. So the Lord brought against him the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner. Look at this. Put a hook in his nose. Now, some people do that today just think because they think it's cute. But they did this to say, yeah, you're our guy, and we're going to bring you where we want. Bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. When he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty, listened to his plea, so he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that Lord is God. And we're told a little bit later here that Manasseh turned to God. He got rid of all these things, but by then he had already brought Israel back into idolatry. He restored Jerusalem and the wall. He removed the idols. But then the next guy down the road, the father of Josiah, Ammon, was a very wicked king. And we see in 2 Chronicles 33 that he was so wicked, he brought all that stuff back, including sacrificing their children to the god Molech. And he was assassinated after 2 years by his own officials. And Josiah became king at 8 years old. I think our youngest president was 34, 35. Can you imagine having a king that's 8 years old? Now, in 34 and 35, I think you see the awakening of Josiah. An eight-year-old boy became the king. Now, you say, well, you know, God can't use kids, but I think he did use this child. And we have a summary of his life there in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 2. And he says there, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside from the right or to the left. That was a summation of his life. And then later in 2 Kings, it says he turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and strength. And so this king, even though he was 8 years old, made a real impact on Israel. And I believe it was because his motto was, I will read and respond to God's word to change my life. And that ought to be ours. But I want you to look at the steps of his spiritual journey, okay? And I want you to remember this. Age is not a barrier to spiritual growth. And I want to challenge our young people that are here today. Whatever your age, you can seek after God and you can obey God and you can serve God in mighty ways. And parents, grandparents, sometimes we put kids down and we say, oh, you know what? They don't know what they're doing. Listen to me. God can use anybody, no matter what their age, and God can touch their hearts as he did this young king. Look at what happens here according to Scripture. The steps in his journey, okay? At age 16, he began to seek the Lord. In verse 3 of chapter 34, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. Man, 8 years old. And God's Holy Spirit was working in his heart to seek after him. Now, where did that come from? It didn't come from his father Ammon. His father Ammon was an evil man, and he brought idolatry back in. He may have been influenced by his grandfather Manasseh, who had been evil but then turned toward God, or his great-grandfather, who had brought all the idolatry out of Israel. But God was working in this young heart at this young age. And then we see that at the age of 20, he began to make a difference for God. Now imagine this. Where were you when you were 20 years old? What were you doing? Well, we're not going to talk about that, right? That's BC, right? Okay. But look at this. It says in the last part of verse 3, in his 12th year, that's at age 20, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Wow. 20 years old and he's making a difference for God and his nation. Don't tell me young people can't do something for Christ. This one does. This one does. He made a difference because he was responding to what God had for him. Now, some of us are three or four times that age almost. And we don't have an excuse, whatever our age, to respond to what God is doing in our lives. None of us have an excuse. Now, look at age 26, because that's his golden year. In the scripture here, it tells us all he did in his 26th year. As you go on down a little bit further, verse 8 in this chapter. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, that makes him 26. 26 years old. Look what he's doing. And we're going to go through the list, okay? In verses 18 through 13, he began to repair the temple. Now, the temple was in disrepair, number one, because of all the idols that had been put in there, and because God had not really been worshiping in that temple for a long time. His own father had destroyed much of the temple. But he repairs the temple. And then in verses 14 through 21, we see that they found a copy of God's word. And according to what we see here, it was probably part of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses had, by God's command, listed the things that were going to take place in Israel if they obeyed God. And remember in Deuteronomy there, God had said, if you obey me and serve me, you will be blessed in this and this and this. Your families will be healthy. Your crops will do well. And he went on and on and on. You will be over your enemies. But if you do not obey me, if you go to the idols of the people around you, I will take you out of the land. Your crops will be destroyed. Your families will be broken up. And I'll finally take you out of the land. And your enemies will remove you from this beautiful land. And as he looks at that, as he reads through that, and he understands what God is saying, he is responding to God's word, and he responds with humility. Look at verse 19 of chapter 34. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. What does that mean? It means he was grieved. He was grieved because he saw what was happening to the nation because of their sin. He was grieved because Israel had been such a great nation for God, and then they went to war on all these things and they went straight down the wrong path. And we're told that he responded in humility. A little bit later there in verse 27, we're told, I'll get in a minute. Got to get my glasses right. Last part of verse 27. We'll read the whole verse. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. And so what the scripture says, that he not only repaired the temple, he responded to God's word with humility. How often today we look at God's word and we say, well, that's for somebody else. right? I've had people say, oh, that's old-fashioned stuff. That's for old people that don't have anything left in life. No. We're to respond with humility, in obedience. When we open up this word, do we say, God, show it to me so I can understand it and live it? Do we do that? Or do we say, well, you know what, I've heard this before, same old stuff. No. We treat it with humility, we listen to it, we obey it, we respond to it. And that's what this man does. As you go on a little bit further in chapter 34, he read God's word to God's people. Verses 29 and 30, he had them all come, great and small, and he had a huge assembly, and they read the word of God to the people. Why? Because God's word, used by God's Holy Spirit, in the heart of people, changes people. It's so important. He wants them to respond to God's word as well as him. And then he goes on in verses 31 and 32, and he renews the covenant with God. That's what that scripture was about, by the covenant with God. And remember, what the Israelites had done, God gave them this covenant, and he said, I want you to make a promise to me that you will take my word and you will obey my word and you will serve me. If you do that, I'll bless you in the land. And they said, we'll do it, we'll do it. But Moses said, wait a minute, there's more to than that. If you disobey me, and then he gave them the negative things. And so what Josiah is doing with the people today, as he stands before them here in this scene, is he saying, listen to me. Let's make our promise to God again as a nation. Let's promise to obey him and let's follow through. Let's respond to his word in a positive way. And he will bless. And he will bring us back where we need to be. So he gets the people to renew that covenant, not only on paper, but in their hearts as well. You know, it's one thing to make a promise. It's another thing to carry it out, right? And so the next thing he does is reinstitute the Passover in chapter 35, verses 1 through 4. You remember the Passover is a picture of God's mercy. As a death angel in Egypt, there passed over them as they put the blood on the doorpost. It was a picture of the coming Messiah. And every year they were to take that lamb and to sacrifice that lamb. Again, a picture of Jesus, who paid the price for our sins. And because of the price he paid, he passes over us. We do not receive the judgment we deserve when we trust Christ as Savior. I hope you've done that today. If you've never done that, I hope you'll trust Christ as your Savior. And so as they observe that Passover, the Scripture tells us that they had not done this for many, many years. How could you? When you've got idols in the temple. When you've got... And we see this in another place where they had male and female prostitutes in these temples, where they were sacrificing their children to God, to the god Molech. How could you keep those things to God and do all that other stuff? They couldn't. So they had to get their hearts right before God. And as they promised God they would obey, they follow through with this Passover observance. By the way, things were bad in Israel at this time, right? I mean, and we're tempted to say, by the way, we're not that bad as Americans, are we? I mean, we don't sacrifice to our children to a false god. Oh, wait a minute. What about the millions of children who are aborted every year? They're sacrificed to the god of convenience, aren't they? What about the god of gold, you know, that we have, this materialistic god that everything else doesn't count unless we have the dollar or the gold? What about all those other things we put before God? We're doing the same thing they did in a lot of ways. Except our gods are a little bit different. But they all go back to the same thing. We're not worshiping the true God. So they reinstituted the Passover observance. And the scripture says that in verse 18 of chapter 35, the Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel. And none of the kings of Israel had ever celebrated a Passover as did Josiah with the priests. And so, at the age of 26, this man changes the nation. 26 years old. Because he responded to God's word, and he wanted the people to as well. And he continues his removal of all the idols from Israel's territory. That's the last one there. In verse 35, Joshua removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites, and he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. Wow. It had been a long time since Israel had obeyed God. Now let me ask you, here's a good application. No matter what your age, no matter what your spiritual background, you can become a new person by reading and by responding to God's word. You can do it. Doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. You can change your life as you read and respond to God's word. I'm going to ask if you would make a commitment to read and respond to God's word every day. Every day. Not once a week. Not once in a while. But every day. Open the word. God, this is your word. I want to know it. I want to understand it. And I want to do it. Help me to respond to you. And your life will change. Now, the last point here. What were the results of King Josiah's life? Well, we know some of the obvious ones. Getting rid of all the idols. But two very important. Number one is God delayed the judgment of Judah until after his death. God delayed the judgment on Judah until after his death. In chapter 34, verses 27 and 28, we read 27 already about his humility. But look at verse 28. He says, "Now I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see the disaster I am going to bring on this place and on those who live here." What does that mean? Josiah had delayed the judgment, the ultimate judgment that God was bringing on his people. In spite of the fact that this group of people had repented, God said, "It's enough. The whole nation has been corrupt too long. I'm taking them out, but I'm going to wait until after your life, Josiah. You will have peace during your lifetime, but when you're gone, judgment comes." Wow. And then the second thing is this. We read it a minute ago in verse 35, the last part. The nation served the Lord during his lifetime. Last part of verse 35. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. Would you like to have that kind of impact in your world? On your family? On your community? On your nation? Then let's adopt the motto he had. I will read and respond to God's word to change my life and to change the life of the others. And by the way, one more thing that goes with this. I think that as you look at this at the end here, finally the last king is taken out, goes to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar conquers Jerusalem, destroys Jerusalem. He brings all these people to Jerusalem. You know who's among them? Faithful people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I think they were affected by this man's life. Future generations were affected by the life of a young king who dared to listen to God's word and respond. Let me ask you this morning, are you responding to God? Well, yeah, I believe. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I believe the Bible. Well, what about when you open it up? Are you ready? God, change me. If you don't know Christ as Savior, are you responding to God's word? Scripture's clear. We're all sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And there's a price for sin. The wages of sin is death, physical and spiritual. That means you can't get to heaven with that sin on you. And the Bible says that Christ died in a place, in our place, and paid for our sins. He paid for your sins and mine. But we've got to trust Him as our Savior to receive it. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. So what God is saying to you is, you're a sinner, you're not going to go to heaven with that sin on you. But He's also saying that I provided somebody to pay for that sin so you don't have to go to hell. But you need to ask Him for it. Would you bow with me for just a minute? If you can say, well, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or I'm sure I'm not, would you trust Christ as your Savior today? You might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin will never let me get to heaven. But I know that Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross and paid for my sins. And right now, I'm trusting you instead of me. I'm asking you to forgive my sins and make me yours. Do that quietly in your heart by faith, asking God for that free salvation. And then when we sing in a few minutes, maybe you want to share it with us as we stand together. Heavenly Father, as we look over the life of this young king, what an impact he had on his nation and on his world and on future generations even. Help us to read and respond to your word so that our lives will change and people around us will notice and trust Christ as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.